Welcome to We Geek Podcast, and we got a special episode for you today. My name's Adam, and I'm joined by my good friend Logan.
Hello.
Hello, and this is just one of those special episodes where we kind of want to just take some time and talk about something in particular that we both like, or news, or whatnot. And basically, this episode is going to be all about Destiny. Bungie's Destiny game came out 2014, I believe.
That sounds right.
Right, it's supposed to come out 2013, but 2014 was the year, and it came out with pretty much mixed reviews, a lot of bad stuff. But it was a lot of good stuff too. It all really depends on who you talk to. A lot of people joined it, left it, and came back. A lot of people new are coming to it, and so this is why we felt it was a good time to take out an episode and just kind of talk about it, because my situation was I got the game. I was really excited for the game. It was my most anticipated game for PlayStation 4, and I loved it. I played it for 3 or 4 months, and I got in love with other games, and I fell off. I know for you got it, only played a little bit, and then traded it in and got other stuff.
Yeah.
And now you've come back with the Taken King. I came back about an expansion previous. I believe it was the House of Wolves. So we both have our own little kind of stories about it. I came back a little bit before you do, so I guess I know some stuff more. So it's been kind of fun the last few weeks playing with you, because you've had a lot of questions, and I've been trying to answer them, and I've really got the feeling you've been enjoying it the last few weeks or so. So, again, we wanted to kind of take a minute to kind of talk about Destiny. I want if you have any questions for me, you'll be able to ask them. And hopefully the listeners will either learn something or have fun with this, because there's a lot to go over. And, we can kind of really start with, let's just talk about the game in itself. And when it came out, our experience with it. And we'll go from there. So basically, the game starts out where you can pick between three classes: a Titan, a Hunter, and Warlock. You are a Guardian. You're awakened by a ghost. It's a little flying robot that comes around on Earth and finds you, brings you back to life, and it's a basically a first-person shooter MMO. And the story can be no story at some points, but some points if you go digging and there is something there. So anyway, it's just basically it's a first person shooter. You hop from planet to planet, killing things, killing different enemies. There are Vex, there are Hive, they are Taken, and I know I'm and Fallen. And basically the Fallen are these aliens that are out and about. They're kind of like just the aliens of this world or whatnot, like pirates, I guess. The Vex are machines from the future
And the past.
and the past, yep. And so like they're like the robots in the game. There are so Vex, Fallen, I
The
really shot out a list here. The Hive,
Hive.
basically Hive are from like an alternate dimension almost. They're from far off. Far, far off. And basically they teleport and drop in to wherever you're at and cause trouble. And you end up taking on, some of their big bad guys later in the game. And then you have Taken, which we'll get into later, which really come into play in the last expansion. So to sum it up briefly, if you're listening to this, you probably have an idea of what the game is anyway, but it's a first-person shooter MMO. And like I said, we'll talk about kind of getting into the game and what we thought of it. I got the game with a few other friends that I play with, my buddy Mark, my buddy Stefan, a few other people. We got the game, and we played pretty much every night. I got the Hunter class, my buddy Mark got the Titan class, and we just grinded through levels. My little brother had the game as well for PlayStation 3. We grinded and grinded and grinded. And when the game came out, there wasn't really much of an end game. It was just grind, complete all the missions and get as much gear as you can. And that's why I really fell off, because that's all there was to do. and other games were coming out that I wanted to play, and I started playing them. It was when I left, they released the Raid, and it was the Vault of Glass. And I guess the Vault of Glass probably came out around the time that I did leave, but I didn't feel like grinding to get into the Vault of Glass because I heard it was super, super hard. I remember the first people that played it for, I think it was like 9 hours before they finally beat the raid. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And that's kind of how it was this time around for the new raid for hard mode. Some team played it for about 9 hours before they could actually beat it. So, but we'll get into that a little bit. What about you, man? What did you do when you first got the game?
I think I played it a grand total of like 2 hours, maybe. The thing was, I remember, I don't know if it was the crafting mechanic or something with the upgrade mechanic that they had that was just such a massive turn off to me. I was like, this is just needlessly complicated. And
Right.
I went through, this was pre, I think this was pre House of Wolves, I think.
Right.
So there wasn't, I mean, there wasn't really a whole lot of, I think this might have been even before their first expansion,
Right.
I
Yeah, you
think.
did play before the first expansion.
Yeah. So I mean, I was, I picked it up and I was like, oh, this is neat, and I played some of it, but I just, it didn't seem like anything I could get into. And so I just kind of fell off of it. And but then when the Taken King came around, everybody was talking about it and you wouldn't shut up about it.
Right,
But
yeah,
like
that's true.
but and like everybody would, and then when I saw like the early reviews and they were like, this fixed, if you had a problem, it's fixed now.
Right.
And I thought, all right, what the hell? And so I
Yeah.
jumped in and they were right. And I found this tremendously more enjoyable.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And from what I understand, from what I remember, it was the way it was all your gear that you got was attached, and it made your level go up basically to 32, I think it was. And it was completely random. The way they've changed it was now if you're wearing a certain piece of gear, odds are something higher is going to drop for you for that gear. So if you're wearing if you're leveling up, and oh, and they changed it so with the light adds up and you have your own light level. So, I know that's confusing, but basically fix things. So like if your helm was a certain level and a certain light level, the or I'm sorry, if your helm was a certain level, you would say, let's just give a number, 200, a helm might drop for 293. Your boom, your light level jumps up, that kind of thing. And that's kind of how the game is now. So like it knows what you're wearing and it knows kind of what you need, and the loot's getting better at the drops. It gets to the point where now our light levels, usually around 300 for the end of the game. The if you're in the raid, there's items that drop around like 303, 39, 310. And so, everyone's light level is somewhere around 310 if you're doing the raid. So it's very smartly done now. And that's why a lot of people love the difference. I know what I said is a little bit confusing, but just trust us. It is a lot better now. And the reason why actually it's like that now, when after Destiny came out, they got a lot of flack for how it works. And just like you said, it didn't seem fair how you throw the dice and get loot. It was basically throwing the dice in every aspect of the game. What they did is they actually talked to Blizzard. The guys who did Diablo 3 came into the room apparently and talked to them. And I was reading a report. It was one of the Kotaku articles, which by the way, if you have not read, please go read. It's Kotaku by Jason Schreier. It's called The Messy True Story Behind Making of Destiny. And in it, he talks about how whenever they were ready to do the Taken King, they talked to the Blizzard people. And the Blizzard people said, this is what we did with Diablo. This is what went wrong. And this is how we fixed it, moving on to the expansions and moving on into releasing it on consoles. And of course, if you've played the new version of Diablo 3, it is amazing. It is way better. They fixed all the problems, and it actually became just, a successful hit,
Nice.
afterwards. Same thing with Destiny. They revamped just how you level up. They didn't make it just completely throwing the dice. It was, you're gonna throw the dice a few times, you might not get something you want, but a lot of the times you do. They added a few mechanics called Three of Coin, where basically every week this guy comes to what's called the tower, and you can buy things from him. You can buy this currency, Three of Coin. So basically, anytime you get a anytime you fight a boss throughout the week, you pop this Three of Coin, and there's a high percentage you're going to get an exotic engram, an item from it. And I guess I'm getting a little ahead of myself. We should probably explain that first.
Yeah, it would help.
Right, so the way loot drops is you're in the game, you're shooting enemies, and every once in a while you get this orb that pop that drops from it. It can be white, which is basically lowest level armor you can get. There's no special thing about it. You can get green, you can get which is better armor. You can get blue, which is even better armor, and usually when it comes to the blue, there's some sort of perk for it. And then you can get a purple drop, which is legendary, which is really good. It's an even better piece of armor. And then the final is the exotic, which is a yellow engram. And we love seeing purples and yellows drop.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And so that's kind of how loot works. Kind of like most looting games, that's how it works. And so now with the new change with the Taken King, you get a lot more drops. It's usually stuff that you want. There's a lot of stuff that you don't need. You destroy it and whatnot. And what's cool about this time around is if you have something, let's say, level 295, you get a drop for something 300, and you already have two of them already, all at 300. You can take one of them and feed it into the 295 and make that item 300. So it brings it up. So there's a purpose of having it. So, it even though you already have that item that dropped, now you can use it to make something else even better. So that this is just one of the small aspects that they've changed that makes people want to play it. It brings excitement back to the game. And there's a lot more that does too, and we'll get into all of it, but that's kind of how the looting system works. And so yeah, so like you said, you played it for a few hours, you dropped out. I played it for a few months and I dropped out. I don't know why I came back. I think it was around the time where I was playing The Witcher and I just got done with Batman and I wanted to go back to something else. And what I loved about Destiny, I kept thinking about it, was Destiny was the game that it was the game my go-to for the system where I knew every night I could go in and play with friends. And then that's what I did. I hit up my buddy Mark. What do you do? And he's like, I'm playing Destiny. Come play, we'll take you through the raid. I have a whole group of people now that play, and I thought, oh, this is really cool. And that's what changed it for me. When I jumped back in, we were playing with my buddy Rush, this guy Aaron, a few other people, Woody, Jedi, I can name a whole bunch. Memphis, there's a lot of people that we play with now. Well, if it wasn't for Mark, I would have never met any of these guys. So they knew that I played only for a few months, but they were like, let's get you new gear, let's do this, let's do that. And I found myself, throughout the day thinking, damn, I want to play some more Destiny. Like, those guys were really cool. I hop in the next day. They'd help me through one of the raids. You get to know them, you get to socialize. And anyone who's played anyone who's played MMOs or any kind of gaming like this, you kind when you find a good group of people, you can kind of play any game with them. You know what I mean? And that's what, if there was another big MMO type PlayStation game that comes out, I could totally see us all playing it. Like, we won't, that's what really makes games like this really cool. Once you get a good group of people and good people to do it, it makes it really fun. Even doing the most, mundane things in the game, like patrols or whatever. It's cool just having a group of people to talk to or do whatever. And they're very competitive, but they're very nice. You know what I mean? Like, they want the best gear in the game. They want the best whatever. But if you're bringing down the team, they bring you up instead of, you know, instead of bringing you down and telling you, you suck, get better, blah, blah. No, they're like, no, we're going to get this for you. You know, don't worry about it. You know, they're really super cool. So that's what brought me back into the game. And that's what really made me like it. Because like I said, I came back before this big last expansion. So, you know, that's was the driving force for me to stay. And so when I came back before the expansion, I got a lot of good stuff. I got a Gjallarhorn and all this other stuff that they were grinding for months for. You know, I kind of got it towards the very, very end of it. But it was cool going into the new expansion with a group of people to play with, or else I probably never would have. I would have played a few sessions of Destiny and then went to a different game. So, where should we go next with this, man? You
Well,
got you got
let's
any?
talk class.
Okay. All right. So yes, there is a bunch of different classes. Well, I'm sorry. There is three. There's Titan, Hunter, and Warlock. To give you an idea, Titans are, they look like, you know, big, you know, beefy, what would you call it? Like a defender or whatever. If you ever see like fantasy games, they're the guys kind of with like the shields. That's how I see them. There's the Hunter, which is kind of like the roguelike class. They have cloaks, you know, they're hunters. The Warlock have like long coats. They're kind of like wizards or witches of the game. Those are the three classes. Basically, the Titan's super strong. The Warlock does a lot of DPS, and the Hunter is really fast. Hunter dies easy though. So like
Yeah, he does.
when I started playing, I picked the Hunter. Probably shouldn't have. I probably should have picked something that lasts a little bit longer. But you know, the difference is they make different jumps and they all have their own special subclasses. The Titan has a Striker, a Defender, and Sunbreaker. And for majority of the game's time, the Titan's classes were mostly defensive type things. Like they basically pop these bubbles where it makes your armor really strong, and basically you're invincible within the bubble. Or they pop a arms one where a weapons one where it makes your weapons really strong. So you pop in the bubble, and then you pop out, and your gun, your all of your damage is just jacked up. So they have the Striker, Defender, and Sunbreaker. The Sunbreaker part of it is basically golden hammers. You get your supers all the way up. Oh, we should explain supers. So like any first person shooter, you shoot your guns. You know, you have your primary gun, your secondary gun, and your heavy gun. The primary guns are your primary guns. You know, it's assault, auto rifles, pulse rifles, you know, stuff like that. The secondary are your
Shotguns,
false
sniper rifles.
sniper rifle, fusion rifle, and whatnot. And heavy is like rocket launchers, machine guns, and a sword.
Right, it's basically like three tiers.
Three tiers. Yep. And so you shoot your guns, you kill enemies. The higher or the more you kill, the more whatever, the time goes by, you have a bar, and when that bar gets filled, it turns yellow, and you can use your super. And they all have different supers. And the Sunbreaker one was basically you get hammers and you throw it, you know, you throw them at your enemies. I think they get 10, and it burns the ground. And I really hate playing against that class.
Sunbreakers are so overpowered. They are so OP, it's ridiculous.
They really are. Oh yeah. The Hunter one, there's a Gunslinger, which you get a golden gun, which is, if you ever played GoldenEye, you know what that is. Blade Dancer, you get when you pop your super, you are super fast and you cut everything. And it's like one cut kill, you know, with that. Night Stalker is you get this arrow, and it's more for PvE, where basically you shoot an arrow, if it hits, you know, a certain group of enemies, it makes them all extremely slow. It makes them all kind of tethered together, and then everyone lays into them, and it does more damage. The Warlock class, there's the Voidwalker, the Sunsinger, and the Stormcaller. One of them throws bombs. One of them is Stormcaller. Looks really cool. Looks like Palpatine. It's like all electricity. You're all of a sudden raised above the ground, and you're just electrocuting everybody. So they all have their own subclasses, and all the subclasses are three different types. It's either arc, solar, or void damage. And so that's kind of important too. Those are the three type of classes, and those are the three. You can also have that kind of damage on your weapons. You can have void damage, arc damage, or solar damage. So if an enemy has a solar shield, that's what you shoot them with, and it goes down, that kind of thing. And it's really good to get a primary weapon with one of those. They're kind of rare in the game. So yeah, so anyway, it's kind of the gist for weapons and classes and whatnot. Basically, when you're playing the game, you have missions. You go to each planet, you do the missions. There are nightfalls, where it's like where you get three people together, and you do kind of you do it's like a big mission. And every nightfall during the week, it's basically a lot harder, and there are specific things for that nightfall that week, like your primary ammo does more damage, but it also same thing goes for the enemies. Their primary guns give more damage. There's certain things like, you know, void burns that week. For example, if you use a gun that has a void burn, it does more damage in that nightfall. You want to use that void weapon. There's other modifiers, like if you're in the air, you take more damage. Or there might be a modifier on it that is if you I don't know. If you get hurt, it's going to take a lot longer to get your life back. That might be one of the modifiers. It's all different. It's all random. And each week there's a new night. There's a different nightfall that goes about, and you get legendary marks. That's another thing I should explain.
Well,
Legendary marks
we'll do
is
currency here in a second. Let's stick with mission types.
Okay. Yeah. So there are. Let's see here. I should have had this popped up.
Well, we talked about knife. Let's talk about strikes. Strikes are most missions are pretty much straightforward. You drop in, they're objective based, and you're done. But strikes are a special kind of mission, right?
Right, strikes are the big ones. That's really what I was talking about when I said nightfall, I guess. Nightfall are basically every week there's a specific nightfall that does that kind of stuff. The nightfalls are the strikes. And the strikes are the ones where basically you get a group of three people and you do this mission. Think of it as kind of like the big mission at the end of a string of three or four missions. Okay? So you get three or four missions and then you get a nightfall. Oh, I'm sorry. Then you get a strike, which is you need three people. You can't just solo it. You need three people. You go in and you do whatever, and you kill the boss, basically. There's something called a strike playlist, where it's basically just those strikes. You and a group of two other people continuously do them to get good gear. Yeah, so that's kind of the mission layout. The missions, the strikes, the nightfalls, and then there's something called a daily, where every day there's a mission that is ramped up. So it's not a strike, it's just a mission that it's ramped up, and you might get different perks from it. You might get, I think legendary, you get legendary marks from it and
Yeah.
whatnot. Those are the kind of stuff. So I guess we should go into currency, right?
Right.
All right, so Destiny currency. Basically, hold on a second.
Well, we'll start with Glimmer. Glimmer's kind of the bread and butter money
Right.
of it.
Right, yeah. So Glimmer, basically everything you kill drops Glimmer. And you use that to go buy weapons, you use that to buy pretty much anything. You buy heavy ammo scents, they're called, and basically it's a pack of heavy ammo ammunition, or any of them really, primary. And so basically you use this currency to go buy anything in the game. There are other forms, like, so there's Glimmer, there's legendary marks. Legendary marks you basically get throughout the game with things you do. Nightfalls give them, dailies give them. Crucible matches, if it's the daily Crucible match, gives them. And what the Crucible is, I should explain as well, is the multiplayer aspect of the game. And so if you log in, you go to space, you'll see in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen four or five different icons. For that day, or maybe it's that week, I don't really know, you go and you put your cursor over it, and it will tell you this specific kind of multiplayer match will give 15 legendary marks. And you can play it. And if you, I think you can do three in a row, and each time you can get 15 legendary marks. If you just play it one time, if you win or lose, you'll get the marks. If you win, play the next one, you'll get 15 more. You can do three in a row, you'll get 15 each. You can only hold 200 at a time. Legendary marks are used to buy really nice stuff in the game. Think of it like that. You can buy some exotic stuff. You can use it to buy specific things when the Iron Banner comes every week, which the Iron Banner is once a month. They open up a small section in the main hub of the world, in what's called the tower. A guy shows up and he says the Iron Banner has started. And what that is a, it's a multiplayer. It's a multiplayer mode in the game where the Guardians, which is you and all of your friends, get together and fight each other in capture the flag, pretty much.
A
I
capture and
think
hold.
capture and hold, yes. And I think it's 6-on-6, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so the difference between Iron Banner and regular Crucible matches, which is again multiplayer matches, is in regular Crucible matches, it doesn't matter your attack for the gun. Doesn't matter your level.
Right. Everybody's on the same, it's all evened out.
Right, everyone's on the same level. The perks are the only thing that are different. But Iron Banner, it does count. It does matter if you are a level 40 with 300 light compared to a level 40 with 280 light. You're going to be a disadvantage the lower you are. Your guns are going to be a disadvantage the lower attack they are and whatnot. So if you're playing at a low level, you're still going to be able to play. You're still going to get, you're still going to be able to play the Iron Banner. Still going to be able to rack up credit with them. But it's going to it's you're at a disadvantage. So anyway, during this Iron Banner week, the more matches you win. The higher rank you go, and there's five different ranks. Certain things unlock each rank. One, two, three, four, five. At rank two, let's say he has a special pair of boots that you can only get when playing the Iron Banner. You have to get to rank two. If say rank four or five, there is a pulse rifle you want to get, which you can only get during the Iron Banner. There's a specific one. You have to keep playing and get higher and higher rank. Every time you win a match, it'll give you more and more experience towards that rank. And I think it's, I don't know how many days it is. It's 4 or 5 days.
It's, yeah, I think it's, 'cause when did it, 'cause it ended on Tuesday.
Right, ended on Tuesday. I think it started on, I don't know,
Thursday sounds right, I think.
Thursday or something like that. Basically, it's like 5 days.
Yeah.
Each day, you get more and more of an experience bonus. So by day five, if you're winning matches, you're going to get up to rank five real fast. Also, while playing it around, I think it's rank two. You start getting things that you can put on your character to boost the amount of experience you get as well.
Right.
And so yeah, so it's a lot.
Yeah,
Let's see.
the gist of Iron Banner is to say, hey, here's a way to get other stuff that you can't get any other time.
Right,
And
right.
it should be noted, occasionally some of the equipment will drop at the end of a match.
Right, yeah. Give me just a moment here.
But there's, we get into we'll talk bounties for a second because that's another part of Iron Banner, in particular. It's the best way to level up there, that at least that I found. But
Okay.
it, and that'll stretch broader because other characters give them as well. They're basically just smaller objectives. It'll be the whatever he is in the middle of the tower that gives bounties. I mean, it's kill 50 X enemy or whatever, that kind of thing.
Right, the tower, and we should explain that as well. The tower is a hub. And you go to the tower, it's a safe place. All you see your buddies in there. You go to the tower, There's a robot guy in there, and he gives you bounties. There's PvE bounties and PvP bounties. The PvP bounties are for the Crucible, and like you said, it's like kill 15 guardians. They might be as simple as that, or they might be as hard as, get the highest rank in the entire match. Right. The Iron Banner has theirs as well, and they tend to be a little bit more difficult, where it's like not only get the highest rank, but also get 10 heavy kills, 10, primary kills, 10 secondary skills kills, and so it might take you a lot longer to get that bounty.
Right.
But it's really fun. Whenever Iron Banner comes around, I love doing it. I want to get, all the items. And so this time around, because it not it, it didn't all it wasn't always legendary marks. You could just use Glimmer to get it, but now it's legendary marks. So now you really want to rack those up before Iron Banner. There's also another multiplayer mode that I'm not a big fan of, but a lot of people love it. It's called Trials of Osiris. And they haven't started it in since the Taken King's come out, because this is the extreme competitive multiplayer for the game. There's three different levels. The regular Crucible is just kind of your everyday person, go in, have fun. Iron Banner is a step up. The Trials of Osiris is the most dedicated of dedicated, and basically, the way it works, and again, I've only played a few times, so I'm probably going to get this a little bit wrong, but you go in with three people, and you play a match against three other people. When you kill them, it's done. They don't keep respawning, so you basically it's a death match. It's you three versus them three, and you got to be smart about it. It's just like the Iron Banner, where your gear matters, your weapons matter, and you've basically fight them nine times. It's nine different matches. If you win, it used to be if you won all nine matches, you went to a place called Mercury, I believe. It was like off of Mercury. It was a special place you could only get to if you beat it nine times in a row, and you got a special chest. But now they've revamped it, so now you don't have to do that to get the gear. Basically, the better you get at it, the more wins you get, you're gonna get drops, and you can only get specific drops during that. And they're really good because they have what's called burns on them for the primary. It's one of the only ways to get a primary weapon that has a burn that's not an exotic. That's going to be interesting moving forward. It's for the really competitive. It's not for me. It's not my cup of tea. It's not something I'm going to be playing a lot, because, as much as I love Destiny and I love playing, I don't like to be the guy on the team that brings everyone down.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
Yeah. And so unless if I'm not comfortable doing it, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait until I get a lot better armor. And that's why I like the raids, because I can control that. I can do normal all day, and I have been. I want to get better gear. A lot of our friends that play it are doing what's called hard mode, and I should explain that. Every raid, when it's released at a normal level. Everyone plays it. Everyone gets to know the mechanics of the raid, and it's a lot of fun figuring it out. You'll die and die and die over and over again. It'll get to the point, though, where you and your team get really good at it, and it becomes very easy because you know the mechanics, you know what's going to happen. Over time, you get better gear, you get better raid gear, you get better raid weapons. So every time you go in it, you're going to probably get some sort of raid weapon. You run it 5 to 10 times, you might have all the raid gear. So by that time, not only did you bring up your level, you know the mechanics of the raid. And what's happened now is it's been out for I don't know how many weeks now. Now hard mode came out. And what hard mode does is it gives you more enemies at a higher level. So they used to be, I don't know, 30 something in the raid. Now they're level 42. All the adds and all the bad guys you're shooting. On top of that, during the big battles in the raid, you can't die. So if you die, you can't get revived. So the more people die in the raid, it's almost impossible to move on to the next step. So basically, you have to be really good, because in the normal raid, you can die and get revived, easy peasy, simple. But in hard mode, you can't die, basically. So You know, it really amps up another level. But that's something I think I can do. You know what I mean? Like, I can play the normal mode, get enough gear, get enough weapons to where I'm comfortable moving into hard, and then start playing that. So that's what I like about the raid. That's what I like about the PvE aspect of it, is that it's something that I can work on, something you know, anyone really could work on and get better, move on to the next level. Where the PvE, you just have to be really good at, you know, competitive multiplayer first-person shooters.
Right,
You know what I
yeah.
mean? So that pretty much, you know, sums up a lot of the game. Yeah, let's see. Where should we go from here? Oh, basically, we'll talk a little bit about raid since we already got into it. The one that, you know, when it came out, there was no raid. It was a few months before they dropped the raid, and the first raid was called the Vault of Glass. And the Vault of Glass was fun. It was a Vex raid. I'm not really sure about the story of it. You know, the Vex, these robots from the future believe their god has returned or something like that. I'm not sure. But basically, when you go in it, the mechanics of the raid, if you've ever played a raid in other games like World of Warcraft or anything like that, it's pretty much the same thing. There's specific things that happen in this raid, and you have to learn it, you have to do it, you have to beat it. The second and that and then with the what was the name of the first expansion?
I should
There was
know
House
this.
of Wolves and Dark Below.
That's it.
With the Dark Below came Crota's End. And basically, Crota was the big bad guy in the game. He was Hive. He was a prince. You know, he's basically a big, crazy-looking bad guy. And in the raid's super cool. You know, I'm not going to go all into it because there's a lot to go into it with it. But there's a lot of different mechanics. You actually have to you work with a group of six people, and you have to do specific things. Everyone kind of has their job in it, especially in King's Fall, which is the third raid. The third raid shipped. Oh, before I get into third raid, with House of Wolves, which was the second expansion, there was something called the Prison of Elders. What the Prison of Elders is if you've ever played Gears of War, it's like Horde mode. You and two other people get dropped into what's called the Prison of Elders, and a bunch of enemies come at you. You do it like, I forget the exact number, like six or seven different waves, and each time there's different modifiers or different things you have to do. There's one called like destroy mines, you know, where basically three mines come up and you have to destroy them in a specific order while enemies are attacking you. There's another mode where you have to stand underneath a mine for, you know, 10 seconds to destroy it, and you have maybe 20 seconds or 30 seconds to do it in. So you'll see a mine pop up. Someone has to go underneath it and stand there while enemies are trying to attack him. So your buddies have to defend you and whatnot. And so on and so forth. So it was like a horde mode. I really liked it. It was really fun. You get a lot of good gear from it. And then with the last expansion is called King's Fall, and I think it's the best raid. There's like seven different areas, and you know, where the first few there was maybe three or four different areas. We did Vault of Glass the other day, right,
Right,
Logan?
yeah.
Right, and that was the first one, and there was maybe three or four different areas. There's really two bosses in that one, I believe.
Yes,
Right,
I think.
where King's Fall, which is the last raid. There is, let's see here. There is the War Priest, Golgorath, the Sisters, and the Taken King. So there's like four big bosses.
Jeez.
There are some other things you have to do. There's a relic activation, which is a bitch. Basically, the team is split into three players on each side. You have to coordinate. That is a lot to go into, but basically, it's two teams of three. One person has to stand in a specific area in the room, and a timer goes down. When the timer goes down to it counts down, I think from like 20 to zero, they have to run to the center of the room, both people. Someone has to be standing in the spot where they left to take over the counter. And then the person that was standing in the middle has to run back, and you have to continuously do that. If anyone screws up or is a few seconds off, you have to start over. So like there's different things you got to do. And once you do it a few times, once someone explains it and you see it, you'll totally get it. There's a lot of jumping puzzles in the raid, which are fun. But yeah, so anyway, that's the last raid. That's the one that just came out. Crota's, the one I talked about a few minutes ago, Crota's End, the boss for that raid, you kill him. That's what King's Fall is all about. His dad comes back. His dad's ready to kick your ass. And you fight him and you kick his ass. So, but yeah, I mean, that's a lot. There's so much more in the game. There's a lot to explain. There's so much different currency. We talked about Glimmer. We talked about legendary marks. There's things called strange coins, which is really cool. When you get strange coins, there's a guy that pops up in the tower. Remember, the tower is an area that you and your friends go to where it's not like a combat zone. And he pops in the tower every Thursday, and he's there until Saturday. Maybe it's Thursday night at midnight. I'm pretty sure it's Thursday night at Okay. So I'm sorry. It's Friday and Saturday. He's there. Xur's there. And what he has is he will have a exotic item for Warlock, Hunter, and Titan. And then he will have usually some sort of exotic weapon. And then he usually has an exotic engram, and it could all fluctuate and change. He will also sell those things called Three of Coin, which I love. Basically, you buy a bunch of them, and throughout the week, you get exotic drops. That's the smart way to go. I bought a bunch of those the other day, ran through a few Nightfalls. Now I'm getting level 310 exotic items. You know, and so I'd rather do that than, oh, okay, this class item that I may or may never use. It's like, okay, no. It's fun to get the gamble. Yeah. And it's also fun because they're weapons. They're not just class items. So I don't know. But yeah. So Xur, it's his story I don't fully understand. Basically, he wants strange coins. Whoever he works for really, really wants strange coins. Apparently, he's rumored to be a bad guy in the game. And we're actually really screwing ourselves over by helping him and giving him strange coins. But we're getting what we want in return. It's like, oh, this guy's here and he's giving exotics. We're giving him strange coins. I'm sure somewhere down the road, it's going to come back to bite us in the butt. But it's a cool little – it's just another little aspect of the game. Do you have any questions? Oh, also, there's factions. Just like in World of Warcraft or any other MMO, you have factions that if you do quests for them and do stuff for them, they give you cool stuff that you can only get from that faction. You can only be you can only be a part of one faction at a time. There's the Future War Cult, which they have like their stuff is more bright. It's more like stripes, like just rainbow kind of colors. Really cool. They have one of the coolest helms in the game where it says FWC and it keeps going across the helm. New Monarchy is all of their shaders and everything are red and white. And then you have Dead Orbit, which I think is the most popular because all the stuff they have is white and black and white. And like their shaders are cool. That's another thing, shaders in the game. You'll get all this armor that just, it's all funky different colors. It doesn't look right on the person. Basically, you have shaders to correct that. A shader changes all of your armor to like two or three different colors. And there's different shaders in the game. The rarer ones are the ones that look the best pretty much. And so, you know, that's why a lot of people go Dead Orbit because their shaders are black and white. And it really, you know, you to have like an all black, character all dark looks kind of cool than all the other random ones. But yeah, so anyway, that's shaders as well. You also have emblems in the game, which basically it's just a cool thing that your name's on. Your name, your light level, and whatever. There's a whole bunch of different emblems in the game to get those as well. So yeah, so that's factions. What am I missing?
Let's talk. We talked about leveling up with factions. Let's talk Cryptarchs.
Cryptarchs. Okay, yeah. So Cryptarch. That guy is basically whenever you're killing enemies and they drop engrams, it could show you got this cool weapon Or basically, it will show you get a primary engram, and it's a blue engram. It won't show you what the weapon is. It will just be a blue engram. You take those to the tower, which is the social area, and you run up to the crypto guy. You show him it, and he tells you what the weapon is or what the piece of armor is. And you build reputation with him as well. So you have different levels with him, just like you do with the other ones, the Future War Cult, New Monarchy, Dead Orbit. But everyone talks to the crypto guy. And the higher you rank with him, the better stuff you're going to get. Also, every time you level up with any of these things, anytime you level up with Future War Cult, New Monarchy, Dead Orbit, with the crypto guy, even the gunsmith, you get a package. That package could be something as simple as strange coins and glimmer, or it could be a new gun, a really cool new gun. If you're with Dead Orbit, they could give you a really sweet, pulse rifle that you can only get with them. And it might have different stats on it than the one you can actually buy. So that's cool. That's another thing we didn't really get into. Each gun can have its own perks. Some of them, some guns have specific perks and you can't get different ones. Sometimes, though, they have it where you can have a mixture of like six different perks, and you can re-roll them and try and get better perks, try to get the best perks on them. So, that's another aspect of the game is you want a specific item that does some specific kind of damage, but you also want it to have cool perks like, half glass full and stuff like that, where basically I forget what the perk's name is, but there's one where it's like the bottom half of this of the bullets are all really powerful. There's one where it's I forgot the name of the perk as well, but it's one where one bullet in the chamber is extremely powerful. So the hand cannons, oh, that we I guess we should get into the different kind of guns, right?
Okay. I mean, most of them are pretty self-explanatory. Auto rifles are your standard sort of light machine guns. Pulse rifles are energy machine guns. I mean, those are fairly self-explanatory. The hand cannons are a little different because they're not pistols per se. I mean, they're called hand cannons. I mean, it kind of tells you all you need to know. They're lower capacity, higher power kind of handguns, essentially.
High power. It takes a lot longer to reload.
Yeah, it does.
You might get six bullets in it, and then you have to reload. So yeah, you have the hand cannons, the auto rifles, fully automatic auto rifles with medium accuracy normally. Pulse rifles are burst fire. So you'll get three or four, usually three. Sometimes they come with perks where you get four, with high recoil between shots. So if you have a pulse rifle with low recoil, that's awesome. That's what I mostly use. Scout rifles are semi-automatic rifles with high accuracy. Those are kind of the regular primary weapons. The special weapons, they're shotguns, which basically it's self-explanatory, close quarters, high damage. Sidearms, close range pistols designed to complement primary weapons. So the sidearm is basically kind of like it looks like a Glock, and it fires fast as hell. There's sniper rifles, which is long range scope, high damage. Fusion rifles, which are close to mid range, directed energy rifles that have short charge cycles. So when you shoot the fusion rifle, it'll take a second or two before it actually fires, but it's really powerful.
Yeah, those you definitely want to be close range for those.
Oh yeah, and they're extremely powerful. I have this one called the Telesto or something like that, where basically when you shoot it, little things attached to your enemy and there's a delay on it, but it all explodes, and you two shots that with that is it's really powerful. The heavy weapons, there's only three. There's machine guns, self-explanatory, rocket launchers, self-explanatory, and swords, where the way the swords work is you also it's got ammo pretty much, and you might get like 54. It's got a really high ammo, so it's like 54. So that means you get 54 really powerful swings on it. And the swords, you swing, and it's basically like one hit kills with the sword, sometimes two or three if you have an exotic sword. It's like one shot kills. But yeah, so that's pretty much it. There's things called relics where basically it's things that attach, things that you carry around that give you different perks and whatnot. But yeah, so that sums it up for weapons pretty much. Do you got any questions for me?
I did have a couple. Explain Arms Day.
Okay, so this is one that I don't know much about. But
Okay.
Arms Day, basically, from what I understand, I don't even want to try to pretend that I know what this is. Basically, there's a weaponsmith guy, and you level him up just like you do all the other things. There's specific guns that he gives you. And if you use those guns, and it will tell you what you need to do, it's kind of like a bounty. He gives you a gun, and he says, in the gun, you need to kill 100 people in the Crucible. You kill 100 people in the Crucible, and then when Arms Day comes around, you get a really cool weapon. So you put in an order for that arm, for that weapon. Does that make sense?
Okay.
The higher level you get, the better Arms Day stuff you get, and the better things you get to choose and pick from. That's from what I understand what it's about. I'm probably wrong. That's one thing that I never got into. I really
Okay.
need to. Everyone's been telling me you need to do this. But yeah. There's also another thing I want to talk about for a second. And this kind of goes into why I really am enjoying The Taken King. The one aspect of it that I feel has been the biggest change, and I love it, is that they are trickling stuff out. They are trickling new content weekly at this point. It's small, but it makes me come back. And what it is, they didn't do this before, where basically one of the dailies, and we've talked about what a daily is, it's a mission that is hard. Pretty much they ramp everything up. And basically, you go into it and you do it, and you might get legendary marks at the end of it or something special, right? But what I'm talking about that's different is now it seems you might go into the daily, and suddenly there's a new thing inside of it. And by that, I'll give you an example. There was one the other day where if you did the daily, all of a sudden there's a ghost in a specific area of this daily. There was actually three of them. Now, how someone originally found this, who knows? But once the community found out, it exploded.
Yeah.
Social media went crazy. They said, hey, go do the daily today. That's what I did. I logged into Facebook and I noticed a whole bunch of people talking about it, saying, if you go into this daily, there's three ghosts. If you find the three ghosts, an area at the end of the daily unlocks, and it's a whole new ending to that mission that hasn't existed in the game before. You get the three ghosts, you beat the new bad guy, the new boss of that level, but that's kind of where it stopped. We didn't know what it was about. It was just three new ghosts. It expanded upon that story that you got in that mission, and we didn't know what to do with it. Basically, you were given this ghost at the end of it that you couldn't use. It was only kind of put in your inventory. Well, what happened was, 3 weeks later, here, give me just a moment here. I'm trying to think of the, oh yeah, 3 weeks later, three or four, I forgot what it was. All of a sudden, there was a mission in the tower. The Future War Cult lady had a mission for you. Only if you had these three ghosts, you could get it. You get it, and basically, it starts a new quest line. The new quest line, you have to do a number of different things. Go to this place, kill this thing, go here and, take out a specific type of taken enemy. And then one of the last parts of the mission was do the Vault of Glass. So it got everybody in the game. You had to join Future War Cult, so everyone in the game suddenly was aligned with Future War Cult. And then everyone was playing the Vault of Glass again. Most people haven't played the Vault of Glass in months because we had no need to. And at the end of that quest line, we didn't even talk about the stranger yet, but you got a gun called There's No Time to Explain, or just No Time to Explain, which is an exotic weapon, And it's an exotic version of a weapon that was in year one of Destiny. That's what I'm talking about. That this little thing, and it's small, but it's awesome. That gun is amazing. It had us doing this for 2 or 3 days, helping getting all of our friends into it, helping your buddy out to do the Vault of Glass. It was a good 2 or 3 days where me and a group of people were doing that until everyone who did it got it. Or if you didn't get the three ghosts, we helped people go get the three ghosts. So this is what I'm talking about. Adding just a little bit of content weekly, like they have been, it's making me stay in the game. It's making a lot of people staying in the game, and it's bringing in people, and they're actually enjoying it. They're like, I have a reason to log in this week and start doing things, because who knows what the next thing's going to be. There was a few other things. There was something called the Black Spindle, where basically there was a daily mission. When you hopped into the mission, and you played the mission just like you normally would, but all of a sudden, if you look over to the right, there's a door open that was never open before. Oh, what's over there? You went into it, and there was an ending to that daily that never existed before. And what was cool about that one is it was on a timer. You had 10 minutes to destroy this boss and all the enemies coming at you. And dude, I'm telling you, it is so hard, especially if you're not the right light level. It was extremely hard. When this first came out, I only know a few people that actually got the gun at the end of it. And I don't know what the gun was. Oh, yeah, the Black Spindle. It was a specific sniper rifle. You can only get that sniper rifle from doing that. There's no other way to do it in the game. And you have to wait until that daily comes around again. So that's what I'm talking about. Little things like that. Who knows what it's going to be next week or the week after that? You know, it might not be anything for a few weeks, but one day we're going to wake up. Social media is going to be a buzz. Hey, go do this daily. There's a new weapon. There's a new part of that story, and it's fun. It's fun because it's like this mystery. You know what I mean? Because people start doing it because no one knows what it's going to turn out to be, and they're like, okay, we're going to keep you updated. You know, we just did this quest. You know, they update the Reddit or whatever, Twitter. So if you're at work, you're on pins and needles. You're also like, God, why do I got to work today? Why has it got to be today? Why can't it be a day when I'm off? And everyone's getting, so it's one of those things where it just brings excitement back to the game. It really reminded me when I played World of Warcraft, where there was an expansion that came out, and all of a sudden zombies started attacking everybody. They started showing up at harbors in the game, and it was totally random. Was not expecting it, and it was one of those cool moments that you only got from an MMO. And that's what's happening here. The developers have the ability to input things into the game at random. And that's what happened just the other day with the no time to explain. And there's been about three or four different guns like that where you can only get them by doing specific things, and we're not told what they are. They just suddenly happen with patches, so I don't know. So that I thought that was really cool. So yeah, sorry. So go ahead. What other questions did you have?
Talk to me about what am I looking for here? Taking you were talking about feeding gear. Explain that to me.
Right. So, in Destiny, you have specific kind of weapons, and if you have a primary weapon at 290, and you have a weapon at 300, but you don't like it, it's an auto rifle, right? It's one you'll never use, but you use that 290. There's a little button, basically, when you view the weapon. You go down to that button, you hover over it, and it says you need a specific number of weapon parts, and you get weapon parts by destroying guns. You need a specific amount of, I don't know, certain things. I don't know, motes of light, a certain number of whatever. There's like three or four different things that you'll need a specific amount of things for. Legendary, it'll be three legendary marks and one exotic shard, which you get exotic shards by destroying, I forget, it's either weapons or armor that are exotic weapons. So anyway, you'll need those things, and you'll need that 300 gun, and you pick the 300, and you'll feed that 300 into the 290. Now, it will probably bring it up to 298 or so. So you kind of want to do, not all the way up. If you have a 290 and you have a 300, you'll want to feed a 298 into it, and then you'll want to feed the 300 into it, and then suddenly you'll have a level 300 weapon. So it's a way for you to take a weapon that you enjoy with perks that you enjoy up to the attack level that you need it to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see here. Trying to think, because like, yeah, the exotic shard, that was one thing I talked about. That's for armor. Basically, when you dismantle exotic gear, you get an exotic shard. And that's used for kind of what I just talked about.
Right. Yeah.
That's what you'll need. It basically you dismantle the item and you're given an exotic shard. You're going to need that to purchase things as well. You can also purchase exotic shards from Xur whenever he comes around. It costs like 7 strange coins.
And I don't know if he's selling them right now.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe that's might be one thing they did change.
Yeah, I don't think so, 'cause I just checked 'cause he's up right now.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. Let me check real quick. I've got the app. I'm telling you what, the app is fantastic. That's
Oh,
something else we'll talk about for a second.
yeah. Well, let's talk about the app. The app is a life changer. It's definitely needed. A lot of people gave it a lot of grief because it was like, we shouldn't have to do this. I think it's perfect. I wish a lot of games had this. Basically, the application is a way for you to look into a lot of stuff. Every time Xur comes, it immediately tells you what he has. The application lets you move guns. Like, let's say you're on a mission and you're on Venus. You need a gun that's in your vault. Instead of going to the tower to go into the vault to get your weapon, the application, you can just send it to yourself. And it's amazing. The application also shows you what's called, was it Grimoire cards?
Grimoire, yeah.
Grimoire cards are basically cards whenever, let's say you kill an enemy, a specific kind of enemy you've never killed before. You get a Grimoire card for it. And if you go into the app, the card shows you the lore about whatever that is. Might even tell you a story about it, about that character or that gun. Like, there's a lot of story to some of these guns, like the Thorn. For just to give you an example, the Thorn and the Last Word have this cool interconnecting story about the two different people that used them and how their stories intertwine, where the Thorn was basically this corrupt dude and the Last Word was this like hero guy, and their story is super cool. So anyway, Grimoire cards, you get the lore of it, but not only that is, let's say you kill a Vex for the first time, which you're going to do a bunch of. You'll get a Grimoire card. You kill 1,000 Vex. You actually get a buff with killing Vex, and it will show you, every 500 or whatever things you get. You kill, let's say, 250,000 of those things. Now you have plus 10 damage every time you go after a Vex. So they actually mean something, and you can monitor your Grimoire cards and look at them on the application and see what you have. Let's say you use a primary gun, however many number of times that you rank up that Grimoire card, you get certain perks and buffs. So that's really important. I had no idea about any of that when I started the game. I was like, "What are these things it keeps telling me I'm getting? They're actually important, you know?" So that was another thing. Another thing that changed in the expansion was now you're getting quests, not just bounties. You're not just going to each, before it was basically you go to each planet, you do all the missions, and you get bounties into the game. You might get some specific things from some of the people in tower, but that's it. Now there's quests. There's quests, 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 just like World of Warcraft. There's tons of quests. Usually quests start other quests. And it just continuously goes. And what's cool about it now, we didn't even talk about this, the voice talent in this game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of want to bring it up. Destiny, let's hear in the IMDb. To go, some of the people in the game. Peter Dinklage was the voice of your ghost for the first year. They changed that to Nolan North, which, I mean, it's smart because Peter Dinklage is just crazy busy now. It's good they got Nolan North, someone who they're going to be able to go, hey, we got new content. We need you to come here. He's going to be on it because this is his bread and butter, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Knightley, he's a guy called the Speaker, which is kind of like the leader in this tower. Lauren Cohan is the stranger, and she's from Walking
The
Dead,
Walking
right?
Dead,
Yep,
yeah.
yeah. You have Brandon O'Neill. You have Kristen Potter. You have Gina Torres. You have Lance Riddick. You know, he's kind of the Titan guy. You have Nathan Fillion, which is Cade 6. He's kind of the hunter guy. And for most of the Taken King, Cade 6 steals the show.
Yeah, he does.
He's basically Nathan Fillion's basically channeling Firefly when he's doing his role,
Yeah,
you know.
he's basically like if Mal went straight-ish. Like
Right.
he's still an outlaw. He's just not quite as sour.
Right. And his dialogue and his banter in the new expansion really makes it really it's a big difference from playing the first year of the game, where you could really see it didn't have much story, it didn't have good dialogue, it wasn't funny. Now it's like, I like this guy. Cade 6, my man. Like that's a guy, you know, he's really cool in the story. You know, Lenny James. I mean, this is another, you know, that I didn't realize he was the guy who does the Crucible, but you know, he's another Walking Dead person.
Yeah.
And there's the list goes on. There's a lot of talent in the game. But yeah, so I mean, a lot of the let's see here. There's like emotes where that's kind of getting into the. They just introduced into the game where you can purchase specific things like dancing and whatnot, like things that are not going to change any sort of. It's not going to affect anything in the game, you know, leveling wise or anything like that. It's all like dancing and stuff like that. The microtransaction, that's the only thing in it. It's all cosmetic. It's all, you know, and as long as it stays that way, I'm cool. Should we talk about like what happened with Destiny? I read this interesting article. I'll go into a little bit of it. I really think that if anyone's listening to go read that if you haven't read it yet. But basically, it was this long article about what happened and how a year before the game came out, they scrapped pretty much most of the story, and that's why there was no story. They had let's see here, what was his name? The guy who left. Oh well, I can't find it right now. But
Was it
basically, the
Staten, I think you said?
Staten, yeah, he was the main writer. He was the one who did Halo and whatnot for years for Bungie. Wrote the story, and about a year before the game launch, they scrapped it because they didn't like it. They wanted it. Apparently, Activision as well wanted it to be more. They didn't want it to be more linear. They wanted it to be more opened. You know, they wanted people to just go out and shoot and, you know, have fun and not this specific linear storage because they didn't want it to end. So anyway, the story was scrapped about a year before it came out. That's why there was not a lot of story in year one. They've since changed that. You know, Taken King definitely has a story. It has, you know, from beginning to end, you're being told what you're doing and why you're doing it. Where in the first year, you're not. It's really, you know. But anyway, so yeah, so like before all that, but when the game was being made, it was supposed to be this big, expanding Star Wars-esque game where there was an Obi-Wan Kenobi-like character and whatnot, and it all basically was scrapped. The only thing that kind of remained was this person called the Stranger, that basically shows up. She has a gun with things on it that shouldn't exist, you know, yet. She pops in and out of reality. We don't know who she is yet, you know. Stuff like that stayed. But anyway, yeah, so it was just it got a lot. It had a big problem. Usually games like this where the story scrapped a year before it comes out. Usually garbage, usually doesn't make it, usually is not a big seller. But because I think the gameplay of it and the mechanics of the game are so strong, it's got legs. And now that it's got its second wind, with the Taken King, it can actually go places. Now that they've had time to actually tweak the story, think about what they're going to do next. That's the other thing. Moving forward, they're going with kind of like a yearly release. They're doing, for example, next year is basically going to be Destiny 2. The year after that is codenamed Comet. Just like how this year, the Taken King was, it was originally called codenamed Comet. That's kind of what they're wanting to go after. Every 2 years, you're going to get a main game. In between
Okay.
those years, you're going to get a big expansion, just like Taken King, which is cool. I think that's just enough amount of time. And in between those, you're going to be trickled out new content, just like the new weapons and new whatever. Suddenly, you'll wake up one day and all of a sudden you have a new quest to go get this gun. And of course, that doesn't. Between those times you have the raid. It's on hard mode right now. Apparently there's two more levels to the raid of hardness, basically.
Really?
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
This is hard mode. Apparently there's going to be two more levels because once you get hard mode, the when you go in there, it says light level that you need for the hard mode. It suggests 310.
Yeah.
The only
Good
way to
luck.
get 310 is to grind out the regular raid, get all of your gear up to like 309, play the hard mode, beat it, and get 310 gear or higher, so you can boost your guy up to 310 or even higher. You can get him up to 320, I think, with hard mode.
Wow.
Once you get him up to 3 or to 320, that's when the next level of hardness will come out, and
Jesus.
it will be even more difficult, and they'll probably change a lot of the mechanics in certain boss fights. We're like, okay, we got to relearn all of this.
Wow.
And then hard mode, the one thing that really sucks is you can't die. There's no revives during the specific areas of the raid. That's got to be the hardest thing about it because I die all the time, but at least someone can revive me after 20 seconds and we don't wipe. But in this, if you die, you're done. You can't die. It's almost, okay, well, we're all going to have to wipe.
Yeah.
So it can get really difficult, so you can put into this game as much as you want, and a lot of people do, and it feels rewarding, doing it. Or you can just play it, just like everyone else regularly, as calm as you want. But yeah, that's what I love about this game. Really is meeting all these new people, playing the game, just having a good time. I don't take it as serious as a lot of other people do about I gotta get in there first. I gotta get the new gear. I gotta get the new weapons. I gotta beat hard mode. I like to take my time. I like to relax with it, pop in. I'm usually on there almost every day I can play games, but when we're not doing the podcast or anything else, that's my go-to game. I just actually got Assassin's Creed, so I might be playing a little bit of that. But yeah, man. So you got any more questions?
Nothing that comes to mind. I'm trying to think, but I mean, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, we just covered a lot.
Yeah.
Basically, if you want to get into this game, add me or Logan. If you get the game, add me or Logan. Again, I'm Addy Addy Adam. And Logan, you want to give your name or no? You can hold off if you want.
I
That's fine.
will just because I don't play online like I don't play with others a lot. I like to dive in. I mean, I know you've run into this a bunch. You come on, you're like, "Hey, you want to play Destiny?" And I'm like, "I just, man,
Yeah.
right? I'm just in the mood. I just want to run around on Venus and just run over whatever Vex I can find. I hate the Vex. I can't stand the Vex."
Yeah, and that's another thing I want to mention real fast is that this game, I talked about how I love the social aspect of it. It's also a great game to turn on a podcast and just chill. Just kill things, do bounties, and chill. Let your mind go blank, relax, do whatever you want in the game, and you can turn off. You can, you know what I mean? Like turn the world off and just listen to a podcast or do whatever and play the game. It's great like that. You said you did that with like Mad Max the other day.
Yeah.
I think this is the perfect game for that. It's where you can jump in, grind out stuff and listen to a podcast or watch a movie or do whatever you want to do. It's the perfect game for that. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Yeah, there's
Man.
you can progress so far just solo. I mean, there's something like the raids are impossible solo. I don't care what anybody puts up on YouTube. They're not they, it's not just a matter of you can't, it's they're not supposed to be.
Right,
You
exactly.
those you need people for. You need what? At least four. Six
Yep.
is the magic number, and that's what you need. But
Oh, yeah.
strikes you can just drop in. It'll match make. That's a difference. Raids will not match make. You have to have a group.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, strikes will match make, and they're they're whatever. But mission like I went through solo, and I'll just to give you an example. I mean, I was when I joined up with you guys, I was what? I was level 40 and light what? Like 270
Right.
by the time, because I know like when I started with you guys it was like 250, but I had a couple solo quests to finish,
Yeah.
and I was like 270 something. So I mean, you can get plenty out of this just by yourself. You
Oh,
can. It's meant to be a social thing,
yeah.
by the end of it especially, or at the very least a team thing.
Right.
But you can get through this by yourself and still enjoy it. You
Oh, yeah.
can. But it's there are some things that you have to have people for. We talked
Right.
about the daily the other day, the Paradox mission, and you could, I guess, solo that. I mean, it's
Yeah, it'd be really hard,
I
but
assume
yeah.
it's possible, but man, that would be just a kick in the
Well,
head.
because that daily, the dailies are, they're basically on you, it was on hard mode.
Yeah, you're
So
basically playing missions on hard.
exactly. Yeah, you're doing a mission on hard mode. So it's good to have three in there. I'm sure someone could solo it, or most of it. But yeah, there's that whole side of it. Like you can play the Crucible by yourself. You don't need people. Iron Banner, you can play by yourself. You don't need people, but it helps with Iron Banner because usually if you're with a group of people, you can coordinate. You can say, everybody run to B, everybody go to C, everybody go to A, where if you play by yourself, everyone's just doing what they want on the team,
Right.
but it does have that aspect of you can just chill. And yeah, you've said you've done that. I do that sometimes too. Sometimes they're like, hey, let's do the raid, hey, let's do that. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm just gonna do bounties for now. And unless someone needs my help, if they're like, hey, I need to do this, can you help? Of course, because they're always there to help me. That's the thing. They're always there to help me, so I'm always gonna be there for them. Hey, oh, you need to do, and it dude, it sometimes like you and that's the other thing we didn't mention. When you do the raid, you do it once a week because that's the only time you can actually get stuff from it. If you do it again, you're kind of doing it just to help people,
Right.
or to level up a gun or whatever. I can't tell you how many times I've done the raid 3 or 4 times a week just because my friend's like, hey, I need help doing this. I'm stuck at this part. I got a team of people, but usually me and a few of the other guys, we will run through the raid 3 or 4 times to make sure all of our friends get it. That's just kind of you get to give and give to get. You know what I mean? Like you have to, you get out. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. You get what you put in, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why I do it. So there's been times where I'm like, I just kind of want, I have all these other things I need to work on, but I'll do the raid just to help a friend out because I know there'll be times where I'm like, hey guys, I need to do the raid, and they'll be like, all right, we'll stop what we're doing and we'll help you. One thing we didn't mention is you can have up to three characters. So a lot of people just have one character, and that's fine. We all have lives, it takes enough to just build up one character. A lot of the people that have been playing from the beginning usually have three, just because there was a long period of time where there was not new content, so they would level up another character, and that's kind of what I'm working on now. My main is a hunter. I also have a Titan and a Warlock. I want to get them all up because if you have all three characters up, then that means all three characters can run through the raid that week, and all three characters have the ability to get items and weapons and whatnot. All three characters have the ability to do the Nightfall. All three characters have the ability to do the daily, which means more strange coins, more currency of all different forms, more legacy marks. So when you have three characters, That's why you see a lot of the older players just having everything. Because it's like, how do you have 200 strange coins? Oh, you have three characters. That's why. Where I'm running with one character where I'm running out of strange coins every week, I've had enough of it. I like, no, I play this game too much to not build up those characters.
Yeah, right.
So I have to do it. But it's funny though, because honestly, the last week or so, I've been on Destiny a lot, but I've been playing a lot of Uncharted.
There you
I
go.
just got Assassin's Creed and I played a little bit of that and I actually enjoyed it. So, the Destiny's the game I think that is just going to be, it's always going to be in my system. I have it digitally. It's always going to be my go-to game when, nothing's out or I beat whatever, is popular. Like I said, Assassin's Creed, I might play that for a little bit. I'll always go back to Destiny. That will be kind of the constant in my video games, I think, for the PlayStation 4.
Totally.
Yeah, and that's what I think a lot of people's are. That's going to be their Battlefront's coming out. That's going to be fun, but I'll be end up going back. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm going to be right back in Destiny, a lot. I'll have fun with Battlefront. I think we're going to have a blast with Battlefront. But I don't think it will have the staying power as Destiny though. But yeah, man, that's about it. I mean, I don't know. I'm probably missing a bunch. Do you have any more questions?
I don't think so. I think that pretty much covers everything.
Yeah, so you guys have heard me talk about it a bunch, and you've started to hear Logan talk about it now throughout the podcast, throughout the weeks. I'll mention it. I'll talk about anything new coming up. But hopefully, our goal with this podcast was if you weren't into it, hopefully I didn't scare you away.
No, I'll be the first one to tell you because this combines two games that are not my cup of tea. I'm not big on FPSs, and I'm really not big on MMOs. I do not like MMOs at all. But it's not an MMO with a first person shooter skin. It's primarily a first person shooter, but it's got some MMO elements to it. And that's what helps. That's what makes it a little different. That's what makes it interesting. And it's not this year one. I did year one, it scared me away. Because I can only like I seem to remember like I broke down a piece of armor and instead of just now it's just armor parts. But it seems to me like it was three different types of something that it broke to. There was some mechanic that I looked at and I
Well,
was
it
like,
still
no.
kind of does that now. You'll get a mode of light, you'll get armor parts, and you'll get whatever. But now you understand what those mean, though.
Right, but I mean
Oh,
this
just.
was but this was different though. This wasn't like three different things. This was like three different types of the same thing. You know, or say it
No,
was
no.
something like that where I was like, I don't want to put the time into this. Like this is too much. But coming back to the Taken King and seeing, okay, it's not. I heard somebody say, well, they dumbed it down. What a pretentious thing to say. They made it, and it's not that they made it easier. They've made it simpler. They've made it more accessible in the ways that matter. You can jump in, and like I said, you can go solo through 95% of this without feeling without it being overwhelming. Like, yeah, it's going to be hard. There are times where you're going to have to go back and grind. You're going to have to look for better gear, but that's the whole point. That's the part. That's the whole point of a game like this. That's the fun of it. And you will when I have yet to find anything cheap. Like when you find something that's tough, it's built to be tough, and you can see it's not just like, oh, this is too overpowered, this is too. No, it's designed a specific way. It's not supposed to be easy. I'll never forget the first daily I jumped into, and I didn't know that's what it was at the time, and that was when you and he had to come bail me out because I jumped in and I was like, wow, am I in over my head? Holy crap!
It's definitely hard in certain points, and it's so rewarding. Like, I can't tell you how great it felt when I beat the last raid that came out, the one for Taken,
King's Fall, yeah.
King's Fall. How rewarding it was to go through that raid and to finally beat it because we tried. I tried with my team for about 3 days. A few of them have beaten it before when I first tried it. We tried and we tried, and you get to the end and it's 3 in the morning and you're like, I gotta go to bed. And then you get everyone, start people, oh, I gotta go, gotta go. You start to lose your raid team. But that one night we were up until, God, I don't even want to admit how late we were up. And we took him down, and it was like, yes. Like, I threw the controller. I was like, ah, that was awesome. It's really, really, there's little, that's what makes the game fun. And like, you know, like I said, hanging out with your friends and the things that they bring up and the things that we won't even talk about toothpaste, because that was an inside joke that someone said. And it was just little moments like that you're not going to get, you know, playing a single player game. That's what I love about it. Just it's fun. And the way I compare Destiny is it's kind of like Arrow. If you start watching Arrow and you only watch 4 or 5 episodes, you're probably not going to like it from the first season. If you stick with it, after a certain point, it gets really, really good. They actually listen to the audience, they start changing some things, and they start giving people what they want. And that's what it seemed Destiny did. Just like Diablo 3, they listened to their audience. They said, "We hear you. Here's the changes." And the audience was like, "Yes, finally. You know, we forgive you for year one." Year one basically was a beta. You know, and they listened, they changed it, and I really enjoy the game. And I can't wait to see what comes next from it. You know, I can't wait to see next year, because all signs are pointing Destiny 2 fall of next year. And I can't wait for that. I can't wait to see see what they do next. My theory, they go to a different galaxy.
We haven't finished exploring our own solar system yet.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm sorry. We're gonna get out of the, we're gonna I think we're gonna get out of the Milky Way with this, and move on. So it's I don't know. I think we'll have a whole new group of planets. I don't know. I think it'd be really fun. But yeah, that's what I think's coming next year. So this was one that I had the disc copy of when The Taken King came out. I went all digital. So moving forward, hopefully I don't want to deal with any of the discs and the expansions. I kind of want it to be all digital. So I'm kind of excited about that. So, but yeah, so I mean that's it. Is there anything else we're missing?
I think that'll do it.
Okay, so yeah, no, we'll see you guys all on Wednesday. You know, we got a lot to talk about. I went and saw what did I see? The Bridge of Spies. It's really late right now, by the way, guys. So that's why I sound like I'm tired. I went and saw Bridge of Spies. I got Assassin's Creed. We'll talk a little bit more about Uncharted Collection. So, yeah, we'll see you guys on Wednesday, and we're out, Captain.
Captain.